Gracious Holy One, we thank you for your light, our lives, and your love. Continue to speak to our hearts and souls and minds and teach us how to give as we share our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Be with us as we listen to your preached word and respond according to your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 40. If you have a parallel Bible, you will also see it in John's gospel, the 20th chapter. Listen to these words recorded by Luke, the physician. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Peace to You. Peace to you. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me, Peace to You. Amen. If you look on the screen, you'll see this beautiful dove. And a dove is a symbol of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and how the dove is a symbol of peace as well. If you look closely in the Bible reminds us at least two dimensions as it relates to peace. Peace with God and peace of God. In order to have peace of God, you first must have peace with God. To be in relationship with God, it must be well. One cannot trump the other. One must first have peace with God in order to have the peace of God. We all want it. We all need it. We all desire it. It is that peace which surpasses all understanding. All understanding, human understanding. It is the peace of God. I shared at the previous services, if you look closely in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you'll see a word that is very familiar. It is used also in the New Testament here when Jesus shared with the disciples as a collective group, all 11. Judas was not there, of course. He shares the Hebrew word that was very familiar with them, shalom. Shalom is recorded over 350 times just in the Old Testament. And yet, in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and he shares this word with the disciples. Peace to you. Peace to you. These words would be inspiring to them. Can you recall a phrase or words that your loved one has shared with you, or maybe a coach or a mentor that continue to inspire you today? These words would help them. And in the midst of them being terrified and afraid. I want to share this story with you as it relates to how God works, because it is a true story, and it talks about, as it relates to the mountain, the Italian mountains where people would go and share and have moments with their family members and friends and ski. And in the Italian mountains, there is a cross. There's a cross there, and people, when they're there for relaxation, they still drift to the cross. They admire the cross. They review the cross and look at the cross. They even remember. They remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. They can envision the nails in his hands and his feet, how they pierced him in his side, the scars, the wounds. And yet when people also come to the cross, they remember their own scars, their own wounds, their own heartbreaks and pains and suffering. One traveler decided that he would look beyond the cross. And so while others had drifted away, he decided that indeed he was familiar with the cross. He'd been coming there for years. He wanted to see what was behind the cross. So he makes his way through the woods and he moves all the debris and the trees, and he finally was able to see, to his surprise, behind the cross was an open tomb, an open tomb. It reminded him that Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's alive. He's alive. And that's what he needed. He needed to know beyond my scars, beyond my heartbreak, beyond the pain, beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb, because our Savior is alive. And he's alive today. Amen? Amen. Well, if you look closely at this text and look at the body of this text, in fact, Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, you'll see how God decided when he wants to make a grand announcement, God uses angels. He uses angels. When God was ready to make an announcement in the Old Testament, the Bible reminds us he used an angel. Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction, God using an angel. You look at the book of Judges, and when God got ready to share the next person that was coming on in leadership, Samuel, he used an angel. When God got ready to announce the birth of John the Baptist, he used an angel. When God got ready to help Mary interpret what was happening within her womb, he used the angel Gabriel. He used the angel Gabriel again when Gabriel announced the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. You remember those words? It's more than just Christmas words that we find in Luke, the second chapter in the 14th verse, but it was the announcement of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, coming to be with his people. Well, when Jesus was crucified, a few days later, God used an angel when the women went to the tomb. An angel was there saying, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen just like he said." You can imagine the angel telling them, "Go and share with the other disciples and tell them the good news." And indeed, it was good news from the tomb. It's still good news today. If you recall and look at Luke, the 24th chapter, you remember the women, they ran, they told the disciples did not believe them. Peter outran them to the tomb, and he investigated the tomb, and indeed, he couldn't find the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, they wouldn't have believed the women. Not according to this time period in which they lived. Because even if a woman had noticed an act of crime, she wouldn't be welcome as a witness in the courtroom. It's way before the Me Too movement. They had to see for themselves. But how many of you have heard the expression, seeing is what? Believing. But sometimes that's not true. Because if you look at the text shares with us as it relates to Jesus coming among his disciples. Now, if you look at your sermon notes, the question that we have is this question: how many times did Jesus appear after the resurrection? 12 times. I'm going to share this list with you. I have it right here printed. Listen well. The first time was with Mary. The second time was with the women at the tomb, the other women. And then Peter in Jerusalem, the two travelers on the road of Emmaus, and then Jesus, with the doors being locked, he appeared before the 10 disciples without Thomas. And then the next time he appears is when Thomas was present. Seven times while the seven disciples were fishing, 11 times on the mountain, and then to a crowd of 500 people. Then the Bible tells us when he got ready to ascend to his Father, Jesus appeared again. Well, not to be outdone, but if you have your Bibles, look at Acts chapter 9, for the Apostle Paul would say, he also appeared to me. Jesus Christ makes his appearance for the believers to know he's not dead. He's not a ghost. He's not a spirit, but he is alive forevermore. I don't know how many of you have ever worked with those who have passed, those who are deceased. For some people, it's a frightening moment. For other people, it's a moment of ministry, of caring, especially for those who work in various hospitals or even those who work in funeral homes. I want to share a story that I shared at the last two services, and Yvette and Reggie are very familiar with this name. He passed just last year, and I eulogized him. His name is Charlie Boyd. Charlie Boyd was a member of Emmanuel United Methodist Church in Palatka. He was also the funeral director of D.A. Boyd Funeral Home, a funeral home that was founded by his grandfather, still is in existence today. Charlie Boyd met the new preacher from seminary, yours truly, and we fastly became friends. But he called me one Friday and really shocked me, and I shared this at his funeral. He shocked me because he said, "Hey, I need your help. We have three funerals on Saturday. And I need my staff to go with me, and we're going to be moving quickly. And I need to see if you would be willing to go to the second church, and I would love for you to be there for 5 hours, just with the body, because people will be coming in and out viewing." Well, friends, I was familiar with death and dying through a course that I had been taken, but it's way beyond the textbook when you're talking about being there 5 hours with a body that is not moving. But then he added something that was very needed. He said, "I'll give you $150. I said, "When?" And so when I got to the church, Clyde, when I got to the church, indeed, he met me there. He rolled in the body. I didn't have to do anything. He rolled in the body, placed the body up front, opened the casket, and then he took off. I had 5 hours. I was on the clock. I made a pact with the body that was in front of me. The body was up front. You see, that's Noah, our acolyte right there. I was seated in the back. And the agreement that I made with the body up front, you don't bother me, you got it, and I don't bother you. But each time that the door opened, I jumped. Each noise that I heard, I jumped. Even though they had doors exactly like these doors here, and you could see people coming up, it doesn't matter. If they opened the doors, guess what happened? I jumped. So you can identify with the disciples. I can identify and resonate with them extremely well. Jesus walks into a room and he says, "Peace to you. Shalom to you." It wasn't just ordinary peace. He was sharing the Hebrew word shalom. That word shalom means completeness, togetherness, soundness, safety, wholeness. It was reminding the disciples of something that is permanent. Not peace based upon conditions, how things are going, or how the wind blows, or how you feel about that person today compared to yesterday or even tomorrow. But he shares three words with them. Peace to you. Shalom to you. Look to your neighbor and say shalom. Shalom. Yeah. That word shalom. Jesus shares those words, but the disciples, they're what? Frightened and terrified, right in the scriptures. Frightened and terrified. Have you ever been there? And he was sharing with them to calm them down, and he shares words that would be very familiar to them in hopes that they would realize that he was alive, that he was alive. But because their disbelief, here's Jesus standing right in front of them. Because of their disbelief, he's willing to go the extra mile. What am I talking about? Let me help you fill in the blanks. I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, and they're going to be on the screen. Jesus' proof, number one, he is flesh and what? Bones. Flesh and bones. Jesus proves to them. He's sharing with them to look, to see. When I was on the cross, they put nails in my hands and put nails in my feet, and then they pierced me in my side. He was willing to identify himself as flesh and bones. How many of you remember the gospel according to John, the first chapter, and the very first verse? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Eugene Peterson says it this way, and he moved into our neighborhood. Flesh and bones. He's alive. I'm alive. Jesus wanted them to acknowledge that. And then the next point he did, he showed them his what? Wounds. He showed them his wounds, his scars. You and I have scars that we can recall, that we can reflect upon as it relates to the scars that we encountered as a young toddler by the same age as Noah. We can reflect upon scars that we encountered as teenagers or even as young adults, and then in the latter periods of our lives, if we fall down, perhaps we have a scratch or a scar. At the last service, Alyssa Wallace blessed us with her presence. You remember she was in an automobile accident during Ash Wednesday? She suffered 2 broken legs. One of them now is healed. The other one is moving in the right direction. Sometimes our wounds, our scars remind us of what happened, but it also encourages us that we can move forward and keep persisting on. He showed them his wounds. Now, Jesus is not the first person in the Bible who had wounds, who had scars. You remember Jacob? He had a limp. You also remember Paul. Paul, the apostle, had what? A thorn in his side. Here's Jesus showing them his wounds, showing them his hands and his feet. It was fulfilling divine prophecy. How do I know? Look at your Bible. Look at Isaiah. The 53rd chapter, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 53, the 5th verse. Isaiah 53:5. The Bible reminds us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And guess what? By his stripes, we are healed. It is by the wounds of Jesus, the scars of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus that we're healed. He is our Jehovah Rapha. Can I get a witness? Amen. And next, he does something we do every day. Some of us do it in few words, and then some of us overdo it. Yeah. He talked with them. He talked with them. Shared in conversation. He didn't tweet them. He didn't send an email. He talked with them. And then he really decided to drive home his point. The Bible says he ate with them. He ate with them. Now you thought, as it relates to looking at what we call today the Lord's Supper, that was it. But that was the institution of how he shared the bread and the cup. But now, in order for Jesus to prove himself, if they don't understand flesh and bones, If they don't understand the wounds, if they don't understand we've been in conversation, I'm going to do something they do every day. I'm going to eat with them. And he asked for what? Fish. Now, I don't know if the fish was already prepared, what type of fish, that doesn't matter. But he supped with them. And isn't it good to know today that Jesus Christ will sup with you and with me? That's good news. He walks with us and talks with us along the way. Look at the next bullet point. It's this point here, and it's going to be on the screen. How is peace be with you a good summary of the gospel? Ask your neighbor that question. Yeah. Well, peace is what the disciples needed the most. They were grieving. Their hearts were hurting. They had left their various occupations. You remember that? You just look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They left everything to follow him. And he was heading to a cross. He was crucified and buried. And so they were in the midst of grief and despair. We've been there as well. And so in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their despair, they needed peace. It is the same thing that you and I need daily. When our loved ones pass, we need peace. Oh, counselors would easily say, you need closure. But I don't know about you. I don't need closure when my loved ones pass. I need peace. Because when loved ones pass, I keep remembering them, keep reflecting, and sometimes it's a moment of joy, sometimes it's a moment of tears, and I keep reflecting on them. And so I don't need to bring closure. That person doesn't exist anymore. I need peace. That peace which surpasses all understanding. That peace will hold you when loved ones are going on. That peace will sustain you. Not type of peace that the world gives and then the world can take it away, but that inward peace. That's what Jesus was offering to the disciples as well as us today when he says shalom to you. He was offering that peace. One writer says it this way as it relates to money. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy food, but not an appetite. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy a soft bed, but not sleep. Money can buy knowledge, but not intelligence. Money can buy the glitz and the glamour, but not comfort. Money can buy pleasures. Money can buy even perhaps friends, but not friendships. Money can buy servants, but not faithfulness. Money can even buy quiet days, but money can't buy peace. End of quote. That peace which surpasses all understanding. The Apostle Paul said it this way as I get ready to close. If you look at Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6-7, look here, right here on the screen. If you'd like to write this down or email it or tweak it to a friend or a text message, do not be what? Anxious about anything. But in every situation, by what? Prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the what? The what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want peace in my life. I want peace in my home, peace on my job. I want that inward peace, something within me that holds the range, something within me that vanishes all the pain. All that I know is that I have peace within. The hymnologist said it well. Look closely in the hymn book, hymn number 469. Says, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. Have you ever been sad? When I'm sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus will be with you when you're friendless. He'll be with you when you're in despair, and he'll give you that peace. We're going to sing a hymn. You might not like the hymn number. It's 666. Shalom to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.